Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message learning about the law of the Spirit of life, what the Apostle Paul has to say to us through Scripture. And the Word of God tells us that we have a choice. We can either walk in the flesh and be carnally minded, or we can choose to follow God and walk in the Spirit. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, I'm thinking, I can't remember the reference right now, but in Proverbs, to walk in the way of wisdom, all her ways are pleasantness and all her paths are peace. I love that scripture. If we would have to follow after God's wisdom, I think we would perhaps save ourselves from some of the complications and messes we get ourselves into by doing things our own way. But when we come into that place of consecration and surrender, it's evidence of a great change. Only God, I'm convinced of that. In many realms of our life and society, you can use the most effectual reasoning and logic. You cannot persuade people by the natural mind. It takes the Spirit of God to change someone. Have you had enough experience in life to know that's not true? You can speak truth. You can speak a conviction of your own beliefs, but God has to open their hearts. It's like talking to a dead wall, a blank wall. It does not register. And so that's why our praying needs to be effective, and that's why praying in our heavenly language. There is the gift of tongues for corporate use in the body of Christ, which is always to be interpreted. Paul is very clear. And for those of you who know me, you're probably at this time well worn with my repetitive reference to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, why God gave fivefold ministry until we all come into the measure of a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith. And unless I'm not fully advised, I don't think that time has occurred yet. So we need all the blessings, we need all the giftings that God has provided for us. And surely we shouldn't fight another over such subjects within the body of Christ. We should bring our ignorance, our lack of understanding to the Lord and let Him teach us. He is the most perfect of teachers. And if He will allow if we would allow the Holy Spirit to lead all of our lives, to think the mind of Christ, to have the mind of Christ, then, beloved, there would be unity. We wouldn't have to argue or debate issues. The Spirit of God would do that. As I said, I tend to be real simple-minded, and the older I get, the simpler I want to make it. And I'm so grateful that that is the way the Lord chooses. He who holds the mysteries and complexities of the universe, of the most profound truths of quantum physics, all those things that can stagger the human mind, He has all of that. But the way of the Lord is perfect. And if we will walk in His ways, there's no need to err. And so, beloved, life and peace are the results of the work that God does in us as His new creation, that new creation which we are in Christ Jesus. He does that by the Spirit of God. The enmity between both has been slain by the cross. Now, God puts a desire in our hearts to sow to the Spirit. Our flesh may be weak, but the spiritual man is willing. The spiritual mind is a mind that is illumined by the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. We can enjoy the love of God, and we can seek to carry out God's purposes for this time in which we are living. To be spiritually minded is thus to be alive unto God, and in doing so we have our members, our physical body, yielded to Him as instruments of righteousness. Hear what Paul says in Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 11 through 13. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. You have a choice, beloved. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, in other words, our physical body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. We are to offer ourselves a spiritual sacrifice unto God. That's our reasonable service. Amen. That's what Paul tells us in Romans, the 6th chapter, and as we go over to Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 18, well, let's read verse 17. Even so, these are the words of Jesus, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I have to read 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Amen. And so, beloved, as we are told through Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote in that 8th chapter of Romans, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We're not walking with a fleshly mind, because we are to walk spiritually minded. The flesh stands for sinful, helpless man. The Spirit of God dwelling within us is the holy, mighty, life-giving one. To be in the Spirit is to be in God, bound up in His loving and everlasting arms. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" The Holy Spirit, brother and sister, dwells in you. If you confess Jesus, after you believed, you were sealed, praise God, with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then the Apostle Paul tells us to be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 18, he tells us that to be filled with the Spirit. In verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So, beloved, the indwelling Holy Spirit is the secret of divine wisdom and power, and He is able to work the good will of God in our hearts and through our lives. Praise God. And so, beloved, as we've been just sharing about the importance of the Holy Spirit, I'd like to go back and review a scripture that's always fascinated me. I preached on it once years ago, but it's found in Isaiah, the 11th chapter. And I'm just going to read those verses. This is referencing Jesus. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." It speaks of Jesus's Davidic genealogy, if you will. "And a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Listen to this. "The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity," in other words, fairly, "for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." And it goes on to talk about what it'll be like in the millennial kingdom. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. Praise God. I love that. But it talks about three anointings. There's the prophetic anointing, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. There's the kingly anointing, that which enables a human vessel to rule in the name of the Lord. It's counsel and might, the spirit of counsel and might. And the priestly anointing, the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And so, beloved, why should we have the Holy Spirit? that Holy Spirit baptism with the evidence and speaking with a heavenly language God would give us, it's for direct communication between our human spirit and the Spirit of God. Is it logical? Is it sensible? Is it offensive? Yes, to all of those. To the natural mind, it is. It's offensive to the logic of man. That's why God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I have no problem with that. We all need to be taken down a peg, don't we? And we have conversation with the Holy Spirit about divine mysteries. Our mind can be unfruitful. Our heavenly prayer language is for personal edification. Hear what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Here, of course, he's talking about the gift of tongues. And obviously, that is not just some unknown language of the day. Obviously, he's saying that men cannot understand that. So he's speaking about a heavenly tongue, not a known language. So that should settle that issue. But the point is, it is for our personal edification. And in that fifth verse, it says, in order that ye may prophesy, we then have boldness to speak for the Lord. And tongues should lead to speaking anointed words with understanding. Also, it gives us an effective prayer. We don't know how to pray as we ought or as necessity, spiritual or physical necessity, demands. The Holy Spirit always prays God's will. And then, of course, it's beneficial in worship. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with understanding. And so it also is effective then, not only in prayer, but in worship. Well, beloved, there's yet so much more to cover, but this will conclude today's ministry, and I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. I love you, and until then, may God's richest blessings forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.